Hey, yesterday we were looking at the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. We're talking about just leading into that model prayer. And both Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6 both talk about that model prayer. It's the disciples came and asked Jesus to teach us to pray. We talked yesterday about the motivation behind that asking, which came from Luke 11, verse 1. But I'll look today at Matthew, because when we look at Matthew's gospel about the model prayer, and how Jesus taught them, and how, in effect, Jesus taught us to pray. When we look at Matthew really has more of a setup, leads into it a bit more, where Luke just says that one of the disciples said, Lord, after he got done praying, Lord, teach us how to pray. Matthew gives us a little bit more of a setup and just a little bit of a closure as well. And what I want to do before we look at the actual model prayer itself, I'm going to look at the verses. There's three verses that lead up to it. So in Matthew chapter 6, the actual model prayer is verses 9 through 13. But I want to read verses 5. Check that. Verses 6, 5, 6, and 7. And this is from the New King James Bible. Jesus is speaking. He said, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners and on the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask him. That's verses 5 through 8. And again, that's just a little bit of preparatory that Jesus gives us before he actually teaches us from that model prayer. And if I could, I want to start at verse number 8, and then we'll go back to verses 5, 6, and 7. But in verse number 8, he's telling us, and this is important for us to remember, because whatever it is that you might face today, it's important to realize and to know that you're not telling God anything new. God already knows the need that you have. It's important to remember that God who loves you, God sees your life. God is not some ethereal being off somewhere far in the distance, kind of just watching at a distance, maybe aware of what's going on, maybe not, maybe looking at others, not at you. No, he is keenly aware of all the things that are taking place in your life. And he's keenly aware of the plans that he has for your life. And so whatever you face today, it doesn't come as a surprise to God. He already knows the things that you face. And so we're asking God, when we go to prayer, and I think this is where a lot of times we get ineffective, or we feel like we're ineffective in our prayers. I think a lot of times we go to God, and we have a heart that is just kind of begging God to do something for us, not understanding that he has already accomplished all the things that we need. Whatever I face today, he has already provided an avenue of escape. If I've got a problem, no matter how big or no matter how small it might be, he's already provided an avenue of escape. What prayer should be is that time of just praising God. It should be a time of thankfulness. It should be a time of just stepping out in faith. Prayer should be a time of fellowship. What it comes down to is when we say prayer, this is what in our vernacular, when we talk about prayer in our culture, this is how most of us would define prayer. We would say that prayer is the means of communication that we have between ourselves and God when we have a need. It's our communication with God to establish his understanding of our needs so that we can seek him to provide for our needs. That is how most of us would define loosely what prayer is in our culture. That's not what prayer is. And if we feel like our prayers are ineffectual, if we feel like our prayers leave us feeling no closer to God, feeling as hopeless as before, if we feel like there is not a real power and a result to our prayers, if it's ineffectual, then probably it has something to do with the fact that we've got the wrong definition for what prayer is. You see, prayer is really at its source, at the very beginning, at its purpose. Prayer is to establish that relationship that we have with God. And as we talked about yesterday, that's what the disciples were looking for. When they said to Jesus, they saw him praying. And when they said to Jesus, hey, teach us how to pray. Because they saw Jesus praying a way that was different than the priests did. It was a prayer and a form of prayer. And it was something different than what they did when they prayed. It was a relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And that's what they wanted as well. And that's what leads up to this description by Jesus himself. This is the explanation that he gives us on this is how you pray. So that's what prayer is. So if you feel like your prayer is not effective today, then ask yourself this. What are you assuming or what are you thinking that the purpose of prayer is? Maybe it's time to adjust what we think our prayer should be. And maybe it's time we adjust what our prayer life really is. It's a time of relationship. And because we fail to understand that, we fail to see power in our lives. We fail to see that strong relationship with God. You know what? When we have that strong relationship with God, it is easy for our faith to flow, and that's what God moves through. It's through our faith. All right, now verse number 5 says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and at the corners of the streets that they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward already in full." Boy, this is an important precursor that Jesus is giving before he breaks down that model prayer or that example of how we should pray or that teaching us how to have that relationship with God the Father. Because verse 5 makes it clear that our motivation for praying is that we're going to receive, if our motivation for praying is that we're going to receive honor and recognition of others, there's no power in that prayer. Jesus said, if you are like the hypocrites and you're praying so that others can see you, or you're praying just for the visibility, you're praying just so that you can be seen as a spiritual person. And you know what? I think we've all been at that place at some point in our lives. I mean, I think we've all been in situations where that has been part of the thing. But there's a really great lesson that's learned there. Because what Jesus is saying is the motivation behind the prayer is not right. There's not going to be that power in the prayer. And it's not because God doesn't want to do things for us. It's not like God is standing there with his checkbook and making sure that checking things off. Yep, he did that right. Yep, Todd did that right when he prayed. Yep, he did that. Okay, I can go ahead and answer that prayer. That's not what he's doing. But you have to understand that God moves through faith. And if we are praying and we're praying for the wrong motivation, there will be no power. Jesus said that because their motivation was wrong when they prayed, because their motivation was not to establish a relationship with God the Father, but it was to be seen and to be observed by others as being very spiritual. And the motivation could be things other than that. If our motivation is not proper, if our motivation is not that relationship with God, the end result is going to be we're going to find out that just like those hypocrites, there's no power to our prayer. There's no power to the results. The motivation of our heart is so important when we're seeking God. Let me ask you this. When you were praying today, when you were praying at any time today or yesterday, whenever the last time is that you spent time and you prayed with God, what was the motivation? This is what we have to ask ourselves. What was the motivation behind the prayer? Because if my motivation was different than wanting that relationship, seeking God, seeking and being with Him, having a desire to be with Him, we're kind of binding ourselves up in that prayer. And we're going to find ourselves in pretty much the same place the hypocrites were. Not that we're being hypocritical, but our motivation is important. That's just an example. The motivation of our heart when we pray should be to seek God, to seek that relationship. Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse number 13, "And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Are you seeking God today? Do you need God in your life? Is there things that are going on in your life that right now you know you cannot take care of? That you know left to yourself, you are going to fail and you're going to fall. Are there things in your life right now that you know, unless God moves, unless God does something, the end result is not going to be good left to yourself? Well, that's actually true of almost everything in our lives, whether we realize it or not. Jeremiah expresses to us the importance of seeking God, and that seeking God comes when we search for Him with all of our heart. That is the motivation for prayer. That's what our heart should be. That's what our desire should be. When we go to that time, when we enter into a time of prayer, our heart's desire and our motivation should be seeking and finding God. You know, if your heart's motivation is searching for God, if your heart's motivation is seeking Him with all of your heart, you're going to find that that time in prayer is encouraging, it's strengthening, You're going to leave that time with the joy and with the peace. If you're not feeling that when you finish your prayer time, then probably you need to ask yourself, what's my motivation for doing this? What am I looking for? What am I hoping to achieve? Because if it's just to receive and not to have a relationship, well, we're creating our own difficulties for ourselves. What's our motivation when we pray? If our motivation is just to have God do things in our life, to just do things for us, even though we don't really truly desire to have a relationship with Him beyond what He can do for us, then we're going to find that our prayers go no further than the hypocrite's prayers went. Spoken of in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. What is your motivation in prayer? I think in our society, and I think for most of us, we have been frustrated in our prayer time. Our prayer time should be for you when you are in prayer and after you have finished prayer. You should not be feeling left alone. You should not be feeling vacant. You should not be feeling like, gosh, I hope God heard that. You should not be feeling like, I really have no idea if I just wasted my time or not. When you enter into prayer, this is what the end result should be from your prayer life, from your time in prayer. The end result should be you have confidence filling your very soul. God is spirit, and so He speaks to us spirit to spirit. He speaks to our spirit. And likewise, when we're in our prayer time, if we are seeking God, if we're doing what Jeremiah said, and we're searching after God and seeking after God, seeking after that relationship with Him, not the list of things to do, because you know what? That'll take care of itself. If I am seeking God and spending time with God, if I am seeking to have that relationship, if I'm establishing that relationship, because He wants it with me, He wants it with you, that I guarantee you, that's not enough for question. The question is, what do we want? If we just want the list of things turned back to us, if we just want our list of needs met, but we don't want a real relationship with God, we're going to wind up being frustrated. We're going to wind up being disappointed, because the purpose of prayer is relationship with God. And when you in your heart and in the spirit that is inside you, because you are spirit, soul, and body, when in your spirit you are seeking after God and seeking after that relationship with Him, as Jeremiah talks about, if that's the motivation of the time that you have in prayer, you're going to wind up with this. The end result is not going to be frustration. It's not going to be loneliness. It's not going to be a sense of vacancy. Instead, you're going to have your very soul invigorated. You're going to have encouragement in your heart. There's going to be a joy and a settling and a peace that comes upon you. You're going to finish that time of prayer, and it's going to be like the weight of your life has been lifted from you. It's going to be because you touched God, because that relationship was there. You're going to have peace. There will be joy. And then the end result of all that, it's a cause and effect thing. The effect of all that is going to be those things that were on your heart, those things you were concerned about, those matters of the heart, those fears, those worries, those anxieties, those fears. You're not going to worry about those because you're going to know that God took care of them. This is the way that the time of prayer should be best for us. And this is where it's most effective in my life. I might have things that I'm concerned about, but if I go to God in prayer and I am just first and foremost looking to establish that relationship and that time with Him and just sing His praises and be thankful and thank Him for all the good things He's done. Once I start thanking God for the things He's done, all of a sudden you can just feel that relationship, and your mind just fills up with all the other things that you're thankful for. And that's when you can clearly hear from God. And you know what? There's times that I've gone into prayer with a list of things that I just wanted to take to God. But because that time has been just so enjoyable, I forgot about those things. I forgot about the problems. They were never even a part of the prayer. But God took care of them because God knew them before He even came to prayer. Again, what's our definition of prayer? The way most of it would define it is this is our line of communication with God so that we can ask Him to do these things in our lives and to meet these needs that we have. And the time is spent listing these things off and beseeching Him, begging Him to meet those needs. That's what most of us would define as prayer, but that is not what prayer is. And we'll see more of this tomorrow as we look at more of what Jesus said about prayer. But what prayer is, It is that time of relationship. It is that striving for relationship with your Lord and Savior. And when you enter into that relationship, then all the fruit of that relationship just comes to pass in your life, including the peace and the joy. It's not a drudgery to pray. If you're just praying because you have a list of needs, your prayer time is going to be a drudgery. But if you're praying just because you are seeking after, because you're Jeremiah, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, if that's what your desire is, you're going to find that that prayer time is invigorating, and you're going to find that all those list of needs that you didn't even have to ask are taken care of. This is the prayer example that Jesus is giving us.